Like, I'm a totally new human being. Before I was like that, and I was bitter, and that's why I was so evil towards black sisters when I went to jail. Because I felt like I didn't sleep with them bitches to be there for y'all. And y'all put me in jail? Alright, well, cool, but that, I was wrong to have that kind of thought, right?
To his frustration, 1994 began in the same way 1993 had ended, with trouble continuing to haunt Tupac around every corner. Whilst awaiting trial for the New York sex offences, he experienced further jail time for yet another ugly confrontation. Following hard on the heels of his sacking from the John Singleton movie, incessant personal controversy would lead to him being dropped from a second picture, the black urban thriller Menace to Society. Somewhat aggrieved at his removal, Tupac physically challenged the film's director, Alan Hughes, after storming onto the set of his latest film. The result of this incident was Tupac being sentenced to 15 days in prison for assault. Punishment served, released from the Los Angeles prison, he could be found back in gainful employment, returning to work immediately on a new movie, Above the Rim. As well as starring on screen as neighborhood gangster Birdie, he also contributed to the mega-selling soundtrack album. The record included the track Pour Out a Little Liquor, recorded by Tupac and his band Thug Life, which went on to sell 2 million copies. It was his earlier music, though, that would return to haunt him yet again, as Courtrooms of America once more took his album Tupacalypse Now to task. It was in September of 1994 that two Milwaukee teenagers murdered a police officer, citing the music of gangster rap, and in particular the Tupac track Soldier's Story from his debut album, as their motivation to commit such a heinous crime. While such public outrage was nothing new to Tupac and certainly not uncommon in the genre of gangster rap, this incident further indicated that the genre was taking on a life of its own. A life from which Tupac Shakur and many of his contemporaries would fail to escape with their lives. As 1994 moved forwards, his trial moved closer. From the start of proceedings and throughout, Tupac would court trouble and in fact came close to losing his life before a verdict was reached. On the 29th of November, Tupac, along with a co-defendant, stood charged of molestation of a 19-year-old woman in Tupac's suite at the Parker Meridian Hotel in New York, as well as other related sexual offences and weapons possession. After the opening day of deliberations, the jury took their leave to consider the charges, whilst Tupac headed for a Times Square recording studio. Aware that the penalty, should he be convicted of the charges against him, were a maximum of 25 years in prison, Tupac naturally wished to make the most of the time he had at his disposal. His recording plans were not realized, however, as Tupac became the victim of an armed robbery as he entered the building. He was shot at least 4 times as the perpetrators disappeared with a diamond ring and gold chains worth in excess of $40,000. He managed to remain conscious in spite of his bullet wounds and was even able to make a call to his mother in Atlanta before being rushed to the nearby Bellevue Hospital, where, as Tupac continued to bleed heavily, the decision was made for him to undergo intensive surgery. A 12-strong team of surgeons worked on his beleaguered right leg, and a damaged blood vessel was repaired. Having been discharged from surgery at 4 p.m, Tupac, against the wishes of astonished doctors, checked out of hospital and was escorted by his mother amidst a throng of gathered reporters. The following day, to the surprise of onlookers, he turned up at court in Manhattan, heavily bandaged, to learn of the jury's decision about his future. After an uncomfortable session in court, punctuated by a visit to a nearby hospital for treatment on his leg, which had become severely numbed by constant sitting in court, he returned to hear the jury's decision. When the verdict was returned, it was one which reflected mixed fortunes for Tupac. He was found guilty of the sexual abuse charge, but was acquitted on those of sodomy and weapons possession, each of which carried a stiffer penalty than his actual conviction. In deference to his medical condition, sentencing was delayed and he was granted limited freedom on bail of $25,000. It was accepted, though, that Tupac would probably receive a lengthy custodial sentence, although his lawyer, Michael Warren, confirmed he would seek leave to appeal against the conviction. Tupac was already aware that a prison sentence was likely and had spent time wisely accumulating recorded material for release in his absence, thus keeping his name in the press and his career suitably maintained. In February of 1995, Tupac's Great Expectation became a reality, as he discovered his new home would be that of the Rikers Island Penitentiary in New York. The glamorous yet dangerous lifestyle he had acquired as a chief mover in gangster rap, a musical genre he had arguably come to represent in recent years, was snatched away from him as he was jailed for a maximum of 4.5 years.